All right, so you're getting ready for a diving work inspection.
Yeah, this can be a little nerve-wracking.
Definitely. But that's why we're here.
To take the mystery out of it.
Exactly. We're going to break it all down for you today.
Using the BASIS Inspecti Module du Carbade.
That's right. It's basically the Dutch Inspection SCW's playbook.
It tells you exactly what those inspectors are going to be looking for.
So you can be totally prepared and feel confident.
Like you said, no more walking the plank.
Right. So let's back up for a sec.
Give everyone some context.
Yeah, this deep dive is all about helping you ace that inspection.
And this module basically lays it all out.
It's your roadmap to success.
Exactly. And it's not like some ancient scroll hidden away.
Yeah. It was published in August 2019.
Super recent.
You can find it online too,
Easy to access.
on www.preventimeadworker.net.
Run by Ronald Whoevers.
Who's a real expert in workplace safety.
He does it all. Advice, training, research.
All kinds of stuff, like hazardous substances, noise, risk assessments.
So if you ever need help navigating that world,
Ronald's your guy.
For sure.
But for now,
we're focusing on this inspection module.
Okay, so let's picture this.
Inspector shows up.
Clipboard in hand.
What's the first thing they're gonna do?
Well, even before the clipboard comes out,
Okay.
they're gonna be looking around.
To see if it even qualifies as diving work.
Yeah, you'd be surprised.
I guess it's not always obvious.
Right, there are specific rules.
That determine if it falls under those diving regulations.
So, what are some of those red flags?
The things that scream, "This is diving work."
Well, depth is a big one.
Deeper you go.
The more scrutiny there is.
So how deep are we talking?
Anything over 9 meters
Okay.
triggers a mandatory report to the inspection, SCW.
Wow, so 9 meters is the magic number.
It's a starting point for sure.
Got it. What else are they looking at?
Current speed.
Makes sense. Strong currents can be dangerous.
Exactly. Anything over 0.5 meters per second.
Okay.
And of course, special breathing gases.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Decompression procedures too.
Okay.
Definitely signs of more complex diving.
And the specific techniques used.
Like SKBA versus surface applied diving.
Right. All that plays a role.
In how the inspection goes down.
Makes sense.
So the inspector's done their initial check.
They've confirmed it's diving work.
Maybe even flagged it as reportable.
Now what?
What happens next?
Now it's all about risk assessment.
Getting down to the nitty-gritty.
The inspector wants to see how thoroughly you've thought about the hazards.
And what measures you have to manage those risks.
And this is where having all your ducks in a row is crucial.
Your documentation needs to be spotless.
Absolutely. They'll be looking for a detailed RINE.
Your risk inventory and evaluation.
Specifically for this diving work.
So you can't just use a generic one.
Nope, it needs to be tailored.
Okay, and then what?
It's not enough to just identify the risks.
You need a plan.
Exactly. A plan van aanpak.
Or PVA for short.
That outlines how you're going to address those risks.
And it's like, okay, we know there are sharks in these waters, but here's how we're going to make sure no one ends up as a snack.
Perfect analogy.
So that's the RINE and the PVA.
But the paperwork party doesn't stop there.
Oh no, there's more.
Oh, yeah. You also need procedures and instructions.
For everything.
Pretty much every aspect of the diving operation.
Like what? Give me some examples.
Okay, so think about decompression tanks.
Okay.
You need procedures for using those.
Makes sense.
What about working from a ship?
Ah, yeah, that adds another layer of complexity.
Definitely. Different protocols for that.
Got it.
And of course, different breathing gas mixtures.
Right, you can't just use regular air for every dive.
Nope. Different mixes for different depths and
So
situations.
all of that needs to be spelled out.
In detail. No room for ambiguity.
I'm starting to understand why you called this a deep dive.
Oh, we're just getting started. We haven't even gotten to the written work instruction yet.
Wait, there's a whole other document.
Oh, yeah. This one's important.
Okay, what's so special about this one?
This is like the diver's Bible.
Everything they need to know is in there.
Pretty much it outlines everyone's responsibilities, how to maintain the equipment,
Wow.
all the dive procedures, emergency protocols, even the backup diver's role.
That is comprehensive.
And it needs to be right there on the work site.
So the inspector can easily access it.
Exactly. And it's not a one and done thing either.
What do you mean?
This document needs regular updates
Okay.
and meticulous version control.
So the inspector knows they're looking at the most up-to-date information.
Exactly. They want to see that you're constantly evaluating and improving your safety protocols.
It's a living document.
That evolves with your operations.
So it's not just about creating a document and forgetting about it.
Nope. It needs to be a dynamic part of your safety program.
Got it. So we've covered the RINE, the PVA, the procedures, and the work instruction.
And we're just getting warmed up. Next up, we need to talk about safety and health plans.
Or V&G plans, as they're known in Dutch.
Right. These are mandatory for any project that's deemed risky.
And I'm guessing most diving operations fall into that category.
You bet. Diving is inherently risky.
So a V&G plan is basically a more detailed risk assessment.
It goes beyond your general RI&E.
Okay.
It focuses on specific situations.
Like what?
Where you have multiple parties working together.
Oh, I see.
Or when external factors add complexity.
So like diving near a busy shipping lane.
Exactly. That's where a V&G plan comes in.
Because it outlines how to manage those more complex scenarios.
Precisely. It lays out specific measures and responsibilities.
Got it. But on top of all that,
there's even more. You also need a project-specific risk assessment.
So it's like layers of risk assessment.
You've got your base layer, the general assessment.
Then the layer procedures.
And then this top layer.
That really takes into account all the unique details of this particular dive.
Perfect analogy. It's like building a safety cake.
With multiple layers of protection.
Exactly. So what kind of questions are we talking about for this project-specific assessment?
Yeah, I'm curious about that.
Well, first off, think about access to the worksite.
Okay.
Is it easy to get to? Are there hazards along the way? What about that busy shipping lane we talked about?
So many things to consider.
And then you've got communication underwater.
Yeah, that's a whole other challenge.
How are the divers going to talk to each other?
And to the surface team.
Right. Are there any potential problems like strong currents, poor visibility, or contaminants in the water?
Wow. It's amazing how many things you have to think about underwater.
That you wouldn't even worry about on land.
Right. It's a whole different world down there.
And then, of course, there's the equipment.
Oh, yeah. Making sure it's all up to snuff.
Exactly. Is it the right equipment for this specific job? Is it properly maintained? Does it meet all the safety standards?
So much to keep track of. What about personal protective equipment?
Things like surface rescue vests.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That all needs to be considered, too.
This is a lot to take in. And I know there's one more thing we need to talk about.
What's that?
The last minute risk analysis.
Yes, the LMRA. This is your final check.
Before the divers go in.
Right. It's done on site by the dive supervisor.
And it takes into account any last minute changes.
Exactly. Things that might have shifted since the initial planning stages.
So like weather conditions.
Yep. Visibility, nearby work activities, equipment readiness.
It's like a final dress rehearsal.
Making sure everything is good to go.
And that the show can go on safely.
Exactly. And sometimes that LMRA might even involve a work permit system.
Just to add an extra layer of control.
Especially in dynamic environments.
Where things can change quickly.
Right. It's all about being as prepared as possible.
Okay, so we've talked about the documentation.
The risk assessments.
We've even touched on some of those real-time factors.
But now.
It's time to actually get wet.
To head down to the dive site.
And see what the inspectors are looking for there.
Exactly. Stay tuned for part two.
Where we'll explore all those physical safety measures.
Both above and below the waterline.
So don't go anywhere.
We'll be right back after a short break. All right, so we're back.
Ready to get our feet wet.
Well, not quite yet.
Right. First, we need to make sure the dive site is safe.
Exactly. The inspector won't just be looking at your paperwork.
They'll be out there observing everything.
Making sure your plans translate into real-world safety measures.
Okay. So let's start topside.
Okay. Up on the surface.
What are they looking for there?
Well, think about emergencies.
Okay.
They're going to want to see clear access routes.
In case someone needs to be brought up quickly.
Right. A clear path for a stretcher or other equipment.
Makes sense. What else are they looking at up there?
Well, safety hazards, of course.
Okay.
Things like non-slip surfaces and wet areas.
So no one slips and falls while rushing to help.
Exactly. And proper markings for hazardous zones.
So anything that could be dangerous is clearly identified.
Like chemicals or moving equipment.
It's all about creating a safe work environment.
Even before you factor in the underwater part.
Right. So what about equipment storage?
Oh, yeah. That's important, too.
They'll be looking at that.
Absolutely. Making sure everything is secured properly.
Okay.
You don't want loose equipment rolling around on deck, especially in rough seas.
Could injure someone or even go overboard.
Exactly. And they'll be checking for proper guarding on moving parts, too.
Like winches and things like that.
Right. You don't want anyone getting caught in those.
Especially when they're focused on the dive.
Exactly. So those are some of the main things they'll be checking topside.
Making sure everything above the water is safe and organized.
Right. But now,
let's dive down below.
To the underwater environment.
What are they looking for down there?
Well, a lot of it is similar to copside.
Okay.
Making sure things are secure, hazards are marked.
Okay.
And that there's nothing that could cause entanglement.
Like loose lines or debris.
Right. Those could be very dangerous for divers.
I imagine one of the biggest things they're looking at underwater
Especially for deeper dives.
is the decompression chamber.
Oh, absolutely. That's critical.
Because if a diver needs to decompress slowly,
And they surface too quickly.
they could get decompression sickness,
Also known as the bends.
which can be very serious.
Definitely a major focus for the inspector.
So what are they looking for specifically?
They'll want to see proof of regular maintenance
Okay.
and that the chamber is properly certified.
Makes sense. They need to make sure it's safe to use.
Exactly. And that it's easily accessible.
In case of an emergency.
Right. They need to be able to get a diver in there quickly.
It's like a lifeboat on a ship.
You hope you never need it.
But it's crucial to have it ready.
Just in case.
Exactly. So, along with the chamber.
They'll be checking for all the medical equipment, too.
Like oxygen kits and first aid supplies.
Right, and of course, a certified dive medical attendant.
So it's not just about the equipment.
It's about the people, too.
Making sure everyone involved is qualified and competent.
Exactly. So let's talk about personnel qualifications.
Okay, what are the inspectors looking for there?
Well, first and foremost,
Those certificates.
exactly, verified personnel certificates
Proving that everyone has the necessary training
for their specific role.
and the type of diving being done.
Right. And the conditions of the dive.
So like depth and current and all that.
Exactly. So a deep sea saturation diver.
Would need a different certification than someone doing a simple inspection dive.
Precisely. Different skills, different training.
And it's not just about having the piece of paper.
Right. They'll want to see evidence that you can actually apply that knowledge.
So they might look at training records.
Examine dive logs
Maybe even observe the team in action.
to make sure they're competent and safe.
So it's a pretty thorough assessment.
Definitely. They need to be confident in the team's abilities.
And speaking of teams,
There's another key element we need to talk about.
supervision.
You got it. Even the most experienced diver needs someone watching over them.
Especially in those challenging environments.
Exactly. So inspectors are looking for a clear chain of command
With a competent dive supervisor,
who's actively monitoring the operation
making sure everyone's following procedures.
and stepping in if anything goes wrong.
So the supervisor's not just sitting back relaxing.
Nope. They're an integral part of the safety net.
What kind of qualities are they looking for in a supervisor?
Experience, knowledge, good judgment,
Decisiveness.
and above all, a commitment to safety.
So they'll be watching how the supervisor interacts with the team
How they handle those unexpected situations.
and how they enforce those safety procedures.
Exactly. It's about leadership and communication.
And speaking of communication,
especially underwater.
that's got to be super important.
Absolutely. Clear communication is essential.
So what are they listening for?
Well, they'll be paying attention to how the team communicates
Both above water
and underwater.
making sure everyone's on the same page.
Exactly. They want to see a shared understanding of the plan
The signals being used.
and the procedures for handling emergencies.
So any ambiguity or confusion could be a red flag.
Definitely. It's all about clarity and precision.
Especially when lives are on the line.
Right? You can't afford any misunderstandings down there.
I imagine language barriers could be a challenge too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially in international operations.
So are there any specific requirements there?
Yes. Everyone needs to be able to communicate effectively,
In a common language.
whether it's English or Dutch.
Or whatever's agreed upon.
Right. It's like air traffic control.
Clear communication is crucial for safety.
Perfect analogy.
So training and practice are key.
Absolutely. They need to be drilling those communication protocols regularly.
Both in simulations and in real-world scenarios.
So it becomes second nature.
Because when the pressure's on,
You need to be able to communicate clearly and effectively.
and this is where those dive logs come in handy.
Yes. Those logs provide a valuable record.
Of each diver's experience.
Exactly. And their recent activity.
So inspectors will be looking at those closely.
To make sure divers are staying current with their skills.
Operating within their limits.
And following safe diving practices.
It's like a pilot's flight log.
Showing they've been putting in the hours.
Staying sharp.
Exactly. And those logs can also reveal potential risks.
Like a diver consistently pushing their depth or time limits.
Right. It's not just a formality.
It's an important tool for assessing safety.
Definitely. But even with the best training and experience,
Things can still go wrong.
that's why emergency preparedness is so important.
Because you can't predict everything.
Exactly. The underwater environment can be unpredictable.
So inspectors will want to see a solid emergency response plan.
Absolutely. They need to know that you've thought through different scenarios.
And that you have the resources to handle them.
Exactly. So what are some of the key elements they're looking for?
Yeah, I'm curious about that.
Well, first of all, a clear chain of command.
Okay.
Everyone needs to know who's in charge during an emergency.
Right, so there's no confusion.
Exactly. And then prearranged communication protocols with emergency
So
services.
you can quickly contact the Coast Guard or medical teams.
Right. It's all about being prepared.
It's amazing how much diving is like other high-risk fields.
Like aviation or space exploration?
It all comes down to planning, training, and communication.
You're absolutely right. And just like in those fields.
Having the right rescue equipment is crucial.
Definitely. A standby diver, a rescue boat, lifting equipment.
And a designated emergency medical attendant
Absolutely. Someone who can provide immediate care.
while transporting the injured diver,
Right. And they'll be checking the decompression chamber again, too,
making sure it's ready to go
in case of decompression sickness.
because that can be a real lifesaver.
Exactly. And they'll want to see that you've actually practiced those emergency procedures.
Not just talked about them.
Right. Regular drills and simulations are essential.
So everyone knows what to do under pressure.
Exactly. But there's one final element that's really important.
Okay, what's that?
Continuous improvement.
Always striving to do better.
Exactly. Inspectors want to see that you're not just meeting the minimum requirements.
But that you're actively looking for ways to improve safety.
Right. It's about going above and beyond.
So it's not a one-time thing.
Nope. It's an ongoing process.
Of always learning and adapting.
And that means regularly reviewing your procedures
Making sure your risk assessments are up to date.
and learning from your mistakes.
You mean like accidents or near misses?
Yes. Every incident is a learning opportunity.
I guess it's like in aviation.
They say every plane crash is a culmination of small errors.
That could have been prevented.
Exactly. So inspectors will want to see a system for reporting and investigating incidents.
Even minor ones.
Right. To identify the root cause
Take corrective action
and share those lessons learned.
to prevent similar incidents from happening again.
Exactly. It's about creating a culture of safety.
Where everyone is empowered to speak up and contribute.
That's the ultimate goal
Welcome back.
for the final part
Of our deep dive,
into diving work inspections,
we've covered a lot.
From that initial check
To emergency response plans.
And everything in between.
It's been quite a journey.
But as we wrap up,
I'm realizing something.
what's that?
Preparing for an inspection.
Shouldn't feel like a chore.
Like cramming for a test.
Or dreading a visit from the principal.
Exactly. It's easy to get caught up.
In all the rules and
And
regulations.
forget what it's really about.
So let's take a step back.
Look at the bigger picture.
What are we trying to achieve?
These inspections.
It's about creating a culture of safety.
Making sure everyone understands the risks.
And feels empowered to speak up.
About any concerns.
And that everyone's working together.
To mitigate those risks.
Exactly. It's not just about ticking boxes.
Or having the right paperwork.
It's about going beyond the minimum requirements.
And striving for excellence and safety.
Absolutely. So as you gear up for your inspection,
Reframe your thinking.
don't see it as a burden
But as an opportunity.
to take stock of your safety program
Identify areas for improvement.
and make your diving operations safer.
I love that. So instead of dreading the inspector,
Welcome them with an open mind.
maybe not open arms, but definitely an open mind.
See it as a chance to learn
from an expert.
and take your safety program to the next level.
That's such a positive way to look at it.
It's all about continuous improvement.
Always looking for ways to do better.
Exactly. You're never done with safety.
There's always room to grow.
Always something new to learn.
So how can our listeners embrace this mindset?
Start by asking yourself the tough questions.
Like what?
Are we truly doing everything we can to keep our divers safe?
Are we fostering open communication?
Are we learning from our mistakes?
Those are some powerful questions.
It's easy to get complacent.
To think we've always done it this way.
And it's worked so far.
But that's dangerous thinking.
Especially in diving.
Where the stakes are so high.
Exactly. And remember,
Every incident
even a near miss
is a chance to learn.
And prevent future accidents.
So don't ignore those close calls.
Investigate them, analyze them.
Share the lessons learned.
And don't be afraid to seek outside help.
There are resources available.
Like Ronald Whoever's website.
To provide guidance and support.
Think of it as having a safety coach.
Helping you develop your game plan.
Exactly. And remember,
It's not about impressing the inspector.
it's about creating a diving operation.
Where everyone can return home safely.
That's the ultimate goal.
Well said.
So on that note,
I think it's time to surface.
From this deep dive,
we've covered a lot of ground.
And I hope our listeners
feel empowered and prepared.
to face their inspections.
Remember, safety is a commitment.
To protecting the lives of those
who venture into the depths.
And with that commitment
and the knowledge we've shared,
you can create a diving operation
that's both successful and safe.
Thanks for joining us.
We'll see you next time.